Radio Buddhist Youth Association. Good day, everybody. You are listening to the sound of Universal Compassion. Today is the 24th of February. We are listening to Master Tenjin Chosen's previous program, Anger and Patience. Please ignore any event announcement because no longer valid, and please enjoy.
This show is brought to you by the Buddhist Youth Association every Sunday, bringing Buddhism to the community of the Waikato. We also give away a range of free English or Chinese Buddhism books, MP3, or tapes on Buddhism. If you'd like one, please send a letter with $3 worth of stamps in an envelope to P.O. Box 82146, Highland Park, Howick, Auckland. Or you can phone 09271-3377. Buddhist Youth Association, respectful, beneficial, empowering. Hello and welcome once again to Dharma Radio. Last week we set the scene for this series of programs on managing anger and developing patience. And today we will start to look at the sixth chapter of the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, which deals extensively with just that. First, however, let's take a pause to examine our motives for being part of this program. As I said last week, the motivation of an act is what makes it virtuous or not. We often think that an act has been successful if it produces the result that we want. But from a Buddhist point of view, causes and conditions may make the action's expected outcome fail, but the action may still bring benefit in the future if the motivation was good. For instance, say you see a dog drowning in a stream and you jump in to help it. Unfortunately, you can't get to it soon enough and the dog dies. The outcome of your action might not have succeeded as you wanted it to, but the compassion which motivated that action will certainly bring you happiness in the future. Similarly, if we have a lowly motivation for giving a Dharma talk or listening to the Dharma, like wanting to gain some fame or be given gifts and so on, the result will not be of much benefit. Maybe some people will praise us and even give us some offerings, but then the benefit will be over. After all, how long does praise last? Or gifts for that matter? And we will be left at best with nothing, at worst with some negative karma which will bring us suffering in the future, even though we participated in the Dharma. So before we get into the program, let's set as best a motivation as possible, which is actually the wish to gain enlightenment, because that is the best way possible to help others be free from suffering and gain all the happiness they want. Remember, this is called bodhicitta, and the Buddhas themselves have said it is the best mind to cultivate for progress on the spiritual path. So let's try to do just that. Thank you. The Bodhisattva's Way of Life is a text of 9 chapters, 10 if you count the dedication at the end. It was composed by the great master Shantideva, who I told you about in the last program, and it is a favorite text amongst many Buddhists. It really talks about how to develop bodhicitta and its benefits, but then finally gets to the crux of the Buddha's teachings in the 9th chapter on emptiness and how things exist. We are only going to look at the 6th chapter, which is 134 verses on the negative results of anger and the positive results of patience, and the practices we can do to dispel the one and cultivate the other. As you can see yourself, it's a very important teaching, and even more meaningful today, where the world is so filled with senseless violence and aggression, than in the 8th century when Shantideva wrote it. People nowadays even think it is heroic to blow themselves and many others to smithereens, which they didn't do in the ancient times. I've had teachings on this text quite a few times, from my teacher Kensa Thubke Rinpoche, from Geshe Paltsering when he was teacher of Dorje Chang Institute, which is now in Avondale, from His Holiness the Dalai Lama in Bodh Gaya, and from the current teacher at my center, Geshe Donam. These radio programs will be based on the teachings I've had, and particularly on a commentary on the 6th chapter of the Bodhisattva's Way of Life by His Holiness the Dalai Lama in a book called Healing Anger. As I said in last week's program, by no means have I mastered these teachings. I'm very much a novice in practicing them. But I think that they are very important, and they've been very helpful to me, so I'd like to share them with you. And if you find something in them to help you in difficult situations, my task will be accomplished. So then, let's start the text here. The first verse reads, "Good works gathered in 1,000 ages, such as deeds of generosity or offerings to the blissful ones, a single flash of anger shatters them." Now think back to a time when you became very angry. How easy was it to control, and especially how quickly did the anger arise? Did it give you any time to realize that it was coming? Usually, we're in the very midst of anger before we actually realize it. It strikes out of the blue, and suddenly we're caught in the middle of this very uncomfortable, overriding emotion. Isn't that how it is? And what about practicing patience, the mind that stays calm and unruffled, even when things seem to be out to irritate us? That's very difficult. And we can't just say, "Oh, I'm not going to get angry anymore," and expect a switch to go off every time we get into a stressful situation. Well, maybe you can, which either shows you're a very accomplished meditator, or you're good at avoidance techniques. But most of us can't do that, and we have to rely on some very serious effort and determination to help us overcome anger and perfect patience. But as you know, usually we're not motivated to put effort into anything unless we have very good reasons for doing so. For instance, somebody who was serious about becoming a world-class athlete would have to look at training many hours a day. But someone who just enjoys a bit of sport on the weekend with friends will be very casual about training. If we really want to free ourselves from anger and develop patience, we have to know well the reasons for doing so. Many of those reasons we covered last week. Not only does anger make us feel uncomfortable, but is very disturbing to others as well. It is detrimental to our health and encourages a predisposition to react with anger again in the future. In terms of karma, in our future lives, imprints of anger will throw us into very difficult, aggressive situations in which we will suffer a lot. In fact, anger brings us all nothing but misery. In this first verse of Shantideva's chapter, he explains another disadvantage of anger: that anger destroys the positive potential we've built up from virtuous actions like generosity and making offerings to the Buddhas and so on. Each time we do something positive, it builds our store of merit or positive potential and weakens our negative tendencies. But similarly, every time we do something negative, like killing or stealing and so on, we build up our accumulation of negative tendencies and weaken the positive. When we lose our cool, as it were, we allow a strong negative energy to take over our mind, and that negative energy has the power to destroy positive potential we have previously accumulated, which is all pretty awful if you think about it. But when Shantideva says that a single flash of anger destroys eons of positive potential, he's talking about the specific situation where you are angry with a great being, a Buddha or a Bodhisattva, not anger towards another person. Because of their abilities and their intention to only be of service to sentient beings, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are objects of great karmic power. And so if we go against them, we're creating very heavy consequences for ourselves in the future. Not only will the karmic result involve a lot of suffering if it's not purified, but huge amounts of the positive potential we've already built up and need to gain Buddhahood will be destroyed. We will have to start collecting all over again. And we have to be careful because we don't know who is a Buddha or a Bodhisattva. The great beings generally don't go around proclaiming, "Hey, pay attention to me, I'm a great Bodhisattva." Usually, they keep their accomplishments very much to themselves and act very ordinarily. So even your boss could be a bodhisattva and you not know it. That's why the teachings advise us to be very careful about our anger and try not to let it out against any being. The positive potential that can be destroyed by anger is that which is collected through positive deeds. It's not the positive potential we build up by studying the nature of existence, emptiness, reciting mantras and so on, which lead to wisdom. That cannot be touched by anger. But the positive potential we gain through helping others, being generous, and paying homage to the Buddhas and so on, which is called the method part of the Buddhist path, as opposed to the wisdom aspect, that can be destroyed by anger. However, there is one way you can prevent that from happening, and that is by dedicating your positive potential well. When we perform a positive action with a very good intention, it's a good idea to seal the action with a strong positive dedication. The best dedication is to gain enlightenment to be of greatest benefit to all others. That, of course, is the bodhicitta mind, which we talked about last week. Bodhicitta, if you remember, is the intention to attain full enlightenment to help all other beings gain enlightenment and be free from their suffering. With this kind of dedication, whatever positive potential we have created cannot be destroyed by anger. Then Shantideva goes on in the second verse to say, "No evil is there similar to anger. No austerity to be compared with patience. Steep yourself, therefore, in patience, in all ways urgently with zeal." Now, as we have seen, anger inspired by dislike or hatred is the worst afflictive emotion. It is worse than all the others, such as pride, attachment, jealousy, lust, arrogance, and so on. Really, for the most destructive force we can give in to, none can compare to anger. His Holiness the Dalai Lama says it is the worst for two reasons. Firstly, it is a great obstacle to a person practicing the Buddhist path, which is focused on love, compassion, and particularly bodhicitta. Well, how can we have intention to attain enlightenment to help all others if we continually get angry with them? The intention and the action are then facing in opposite directions. In Buddhism, we say love is the wish for others to have happiness, without any wish for a return for ourselves. But if we develop anger for others, which will inevitably cause them suffering, how can we say we want them to have all happiness? And compassion is the wish for all others to be free of suffering, again, without any wish for a comeback for ourselves. And how can we say we feel compassion for others if we cause them suffering by a display of anger? Anger is a huge obstacle to developing love and compassion, which are the basis for bodhicitta. The other reason His Holiness says anger is worse than all other afflictive emotions is that it destroys our peace of mind and our virtue, as we have seen. Of course, without a calm mind, it becomes extremely difficult to practice the Buddhist path, which demands a steady, focused concentration. Anger doesn't allow that even for an instant, and because it destroys the positive potential, which is the basis for a strongly focused mind, it will be difficult to achieve concentration in the future as well. Shantideva calls the practice of patience the greatest austerity, since it is the direct antidote to the greatest of all afflictive emotions, anger. But I think he also calls it that because it's difficult to cultivate. Well, you will know how quickly and easily anger arises and takes hold, and how we are used to letting it take its course, or perhaps bottling it up inside. It may seem practically impossible to train ourselves out of such bad habits, but it can be done, as Shantideva says, if we practice with constant energy and really make it a priority in our lives. Well, notice the driving language he uses in the last two lines of the verse. "Steep yourself, therefore, in patience, in all ways urgently with zeal." He's encouraging us to use whatever means we can to develop patience. We can use everyday situations which bring up irritation or anger to focus our minds on practicing patience. And we can also visualize such situations and use our imagination and intelligence to work out ways to stay calm. But it won't be enough just to practice like that just for a short time. We really have to change our minds by practicing again and again. Only by a long familiarity with trying to stay peaceful in annoying situations will we be able to banish anger from our lives. So Shantideva encourages us to make a strong determination and effort to cultivate this patience. As the text progresses, he will show us many techniques and reasonings to use to develop such patience and curb our anger. In verse 3, he goes on to say, "Those tormented by the pain of anger will never know tranquility of mind. Strangers they will be to every pleasure. Sleep departs them. They can never rest." Here Shantideva starts pointing out the obvious faults of anger. As we have said before, unless we are convinced of the great faults of anger, we will not make the effort to free ourselves from it. So here he illustrates the very obvious difficulties anger brings us. First of all, it immediately destroys our peace of mind. We become tense and miserable, and everything we normally enjoy loses its attraction. As Shantideva says, with a mind brooding with anger, it becomes impossible to even sleep. Now, what are the things that usually bring us pleasure in this existence? We can basically divide them into friends and relatives, wealth, and good health. But now, what happens when we get really angry? Say you and your partner have an argument about washing the dishes. The argument gets really heated, and almost beside yourself with anger, you take a plate or two and smash them on the ground or against the wall. Then at that moment, your best friend happens to ring. You pick up the phone and are hardly able to control your temper. You bark "yes" into the receiver. Even though it's your best friend, you can hardly talk to them. The last thing you want to do is to make polite conversation when you're feeling so upset. So you're really quite gruff and get off the phone as quickly as you can. But now you have a raging headache and all you can really do is go and lie down and cool off a bit. Do you see how anger has the capacity to destroy all the pleasure we get from the things of conventional existence? It ruins our peace of mind and consequently robs us of our wealth, our friendship, and good health. And a person who is habitually angry is much more prone to serious health risks like high blood pressure, heart attacks, and so on. This is what Stephen Stosny, a doctor who specializes in emotional regulation, says about anger. Here he's talking about ongoing low-level anger like resentment or impatience. Continual high levels of anger will, of course, be much worse. He says, "Consistent prolonged levels of anger give a person a 5 times greater chance of dying before the age of 50. Anger elevates blood pressure, increases threat of stroke, heart disease, cancer, depression, anxiety disorders, and in general, depresses the immune system. Angry people have lots of little aches and pains, or get a lot of colds and bouts of flu, or headaches, or upset stomachs. To make matters worse, angry people tend to seek relief from the ill moods caused by anger through other health endangering habits, such as smoking and drinking, or through compulsive behavior, such as workaholism and perfectionism." And I don't even think Dr. Stosny is a Buddhist. One of the tricks anger plays on us is that it seems to be our friend. When we are angry, a host of reasons appear why the anger is justified, why we are right to feel the way we do. The anger appears to be a protector from some threat, but actually it's a very dangerous type of friend. Why? Because it encourages us to take revenge against or harm the person or thing we are angry with. And the trouble with that is, for one thing, does not stop the harm that we might have experienced already. That is already past. And for another, it creates a cycle of revenge and harm that can go on endlessly, like a feud that is kept going between families, generation after generation. So the friendship anger promises us is actually not friendship at all. It's a kind of slavery to misery for oneself and others. How do we counteract our mind's tendency to get angry? His Holiness says that even if we don't talk about Dharma practice, just to experience a happy everyday life, our state of mind is most important. He says, and I quote, "The greater the level of calmness of our mind, the greater our peace of mind, the greater our ability to enjoy a happy and joyful life." However, when we speak of a calm state of mind or peace of mind, we should not confuse that with a completely insensitive, apathetic state in which there is no feeling, like being spaced out or completely empty. That is not what we mean by having a calm state of mind or peace of mind. Genuine peace of mind is rooted in affection and compassion. There is a very high level of sensitivity and feeling involved. His Holiness points out that no matter how good our external conditions, if we don't have this peace of mind, we will never find satisfaction. Whereas even if our external conditions are bad, but our mind is at peace and calm, we will be able to live happily. Another disadvantage of anger is that it makes us appear like a demon. You know that when a person becomes angry, their face gets all red and twisted, their eyes glare, their body tenses, and they can really appear like a demon. In my previous programs, I mentioned a friend I was visiting one evening who showed me how he became angry with somebody during the day. As he glared, his face became all puffed up and red, and his lips snarled, and I was actually frightened. He really did look like a demon. And that is what we become like when we become angry. As I said before, our rationality goes out the window and we completely lose the sense of what is right and wrong. Well, remember what happened when Mel Gibson was arrested by police in the States last year and became abusive and anti-Semitic. Well, he might have been drunk, but alcohol was the key to unlock his anger, and he lost all sense of what he should and shouldn't be doing. I bet he looked pretty unattractive at the time, too. Not at all like the screen hero that fans might swoon over. If we want to really understand how anger arises so we can take effective steps against it, we need to know where it comes from and what causes it. In texts like The Graduated Path to Enlightenment, 6 causes of afflictive emotion are listed. If we know these, we can observe them within ourselves and so be ready to take action when we see them arising. The 6 are latencies already on our mind, the object of the emotion, bad friends, bad stories, familiarity with the emotion, and paying inappropriate attention to the emotion. Let's look at these a little more closely. Everything we do places a latency on our mind that bears a fruit in the future. So if we get angry, it leaves a potential on our mind to react that way again later on. We may not even realize that potential is there until the right conditions arise, and suddenly it is actualized and we are in the grip of the emotion. I used to work with a person who reacted negatively to everything that came up. She didn't often get red in the face, rip-roaring mad, but she maintained a kind of low-level anger that bit at every little thing. The latency was so strong, it took very little for irritation to arise. A small, irrelevant mistake could make her irritated. So this is one of the causes for anger, the latencies that we have placed on our mind in previous situations. Then, if we develop aversion for a particular object, whenever it appears, it will make us uncomfortable. Long before I became a monk, I used to like acting. Of course, as an actor, you meet lots of people interested in the theater. And I remember meeting another actor at a party who was a bit of a show-off. He liked having an audience, so he did a bit of a routine. I thought he was over the top and developed a dislike of him. And then, whenever I saw him again in other situations, that dislike would arise without me even thinking about it. Actually, apart from the attention-seeking, I think he was quite a nice person. A friend of mine liked him quite a lot. But you can see just how seeing the object allows the anger to arise. So it was a good thing that I didn't come across him very much. If we do develop anger for an object, it's best in the short term to stay away so the emotion doesn't arise. The third cause is bad friends. Now recently, a story appeared in the paper about a couple of young thugs beating up and humiliating a 16-year-old boy while a bunch of other teenagers urged them on. This is what is meant by bad friends, people who encourage angry, aggressive behavior in others. These sorts of people are best avoided. Similarly, bad stories refers to movies, books, and so on that encourage anger. And that covers most action movies, doesn't it? Especially movies of intense revenge. These just reinforce the idea that anger and aggression are okay. And so many people, especially young people, are encouraged to mimic them. Then the more familiar we have become with anger, the more easily it will arise. Some people seem to be angry and aggressive from a very early age. That's because they are familiar with it from a previous life. The co-worker I spoke about earlier is a good example of how easily anger arises when you familiarize yourself with it. And finally, if we constantly think on angry situations and build them up in our minds, perhaps constantly thinking on ourselves as some sort of avenger who violently punishes people we see as enemies, we encourage anger to become a permanent resident in our minds. And that may well result in something like the Virginia Tech massacre that happened a few weeks ago in the United States. And now we've run out of time and come to the end of the program. I hope it's been of some benefit. Please join me again next week as we go through Shantideva's text. Thank you.
Services, just part of the service on planetaudio.org.nz.
conversation.